Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Steve Sisolak. He is chair of the Clark County Commission. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising health care costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%
of our health care spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising health care costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Does your business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Steve Sisolak. He is chairman of the Clark County Commission. Pleasure to have you on the program,
sir. Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to see you again.
And for those that may not be aware, a lot of people consider the Clark County Commission to be the most powerful body in the state, more powerful than the legislature. So I got to ask you about the recent news about the stadium, the big meeting, the potential for an NFL team to come here. Do you think that is realistic, or is that pie in the sky for an organization that won't allow gaming commercials during the Super Bowl?
I think from the representations that were made at the meeting a while back that it's a real possibility that, you know, Mr. Goldstein represented that several of the owners have come to him and said that the NFL is open to it, that the two cities that the NFL really likes and is attracted to are London and Las Vegas, which is really encouraging to hear. Mr. Davis has some interest in relocating to Las Vegas, so the community certainly would embrace an NFL franchise. I mean, people here are starving for sports, and that would be exciting. I think it's much more of a reality than it was 5 years ago, and whether or not it'll come to fruition remains to be seen.
Okay, do you think you're being a little optimistic here? Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think I'm a little optimistic, but it's a difficult thing when you're talking about the stadium. It's kind of a chicken-egg scenario. You know, they're not going to bring a team that's going to play full-time at Sam Boyd. You know, you're going to have something to lure them here, and the idea of a billion-dollar stadium is a pretty attractive bait to get someone to come here. Then again, you get the same thing that happened with our basketball coach a while back. You know, they use you kind of get in negotiating, and then they decide to stay where they're at or move along, and you use it as a negotiating chip. So I certainly hope that's not the case. And while that's happened in the past, I guess you got to keep trying if you really want to succeed.
But the reality is that this stadium would make sense for UNLV. It would make sense for a whole host of things beyond having an NFL franchise.
Well, that was a discussion that we really had. You can't go on the idea of funding and building a stadium on maybe getting an NFL team. Would it be successful in and of itself without the NFL team? And We don't need 65,000 seats for UNLV football. I mean, you need a nice stadium on campus would be terrific. How many other events can you really attract? These soccer events, these boxing events, UFC events, that sort of thing, some of the really large concerts that want that type of a venue. That's a question that the committee really was trying to drill down to. How many other events and revenue sources can we identify that would be different than an NFL team? That would be the frosting on the cake, so to speak. But you've got to make sure that if you build a stadium without having a team, because we don't have a team or a commitment of a team, that it would be able to, it's not just the building cost, you know, the $1.2 billion, $1.3 billion, it's significant operating and maintenance on a an asset of that size.
And interesting, there was a poll done recently by the Las Vegas Sun, or reported on by the Las Vegas Sun, that said that the public is in favor of both the expansion of the convention center and of the stadium. But the reality is there's not enough money for both, is there?
Well, that remains to be seen. And I know polls, we both know that depends how you word the questions and exactly what's asked and the order and so forth. You're looking at, you know, Ross State, the convention center, is asked somewhere between, you know, $1 billion and $1.4 billion for that facility to remodel, renovate, and add some
Well, eventually space. It's over $2 billion is the
It could get price. To $2 billion. The stadium is $1.1 billion, $1.2 billion, but there'd be some private money coming in. At some point, we're going to have to get down to what is the dollar amount that's necessary. Is there enough money for both of them? That would be a heavy lift. I mean, 1% in the room tax raises a little over $50 million. So to service a debt on $1 billion, you need about $80 million in revenue streams. So $80 million is a lot of taxes to raise. You know, a lot of revenue to have to generate to pay those bonds.
And you were talking about Mr. Goldstein. You were referring to Rob Goldstein, who's the head of Las Vegas Sands. You know, there's been an ongoing war between the Las Vegas Sands and the Convention Authority in terms of competing for business, obviously. Mm-hmm. And where do you think that this is going to go? Because MGM has already come out and said that they are in favor of expanding the convention center.
MGM is clearly in favor of expanding the convention center. I think that I think it's pretty much unanimous on the board that the convention center needs some remodel and renovation and bringing up to date. How much that's going to be is another story. I think in his proposal, Rossi had $560 million for remodel and renovation. Then you get to the part when you remodel and renovate, how do you keep the conventions coming if you can't move them, locate them in another facility? That was the idea. If you built another 300,000-400,000 feet, you move them in and out, and you move down to the convention center during the remodeling. I don't know how much more convention space we need. Mandalay Bay has new convention facilities. Area's adding some convention facilities. Las Vegas Sands has significant convention facilities. We got a presentation from the monorail folks to connect the three sites with the monorail being extended in stations at those sites. I think that's the quickest, most economical way to get started. Now, how much you need in addition, I don't know. That's always been Mr. Adelson's position, that, you know, the convention authority is competing with the private sector because he's paid for his convention center. And MGM's position, MGM built an incredible T-Mobile arena that's now open up, and they did that all with private funds. So they're saying, look, you want to build a stadium, build it with private funds. So there's two sides of this coin, obviously.
As far as the expansion of the monorail, do you think that that's on the cards to happen in the next few years?
I do. I think that there's a good possibility we move it to Mandalay Bay with the idea of convention space. We heard a lot of proposals from some of the convention owners that came in, the folks that run those conventions. They just claim they need more square footage. They need more square footage when the space is here, and the immediate way to get that is to connect those convention centers somehow. Now, they're not under one roof, but they're close enough that if you put somebody on a monorail, you get there in a third of the time that it would take to drive on the streets to get there. So that's a possibility.
Would you look at expanding it to the airport at the same time?
Not at the same time. That would come subsequent to that. The immediate one would be that was talked about is going to Mandalay Bay. The airport's a little different. I mean, it's a lot more involved. I mean, you've got height issues is coming down Tropicana, and to get to Mandalay Bay is just extending the track for about a mile, mile and a half, and adding two stations. So
that would be really just a leap over from MGM?
Mm-hmm. Right. It would just be a leap over from MGM over Las Vegas Boulevard, and you'd add a station at the very end at Mandalay Bay and add another station behind where the Sands Convention Center is to get people on and off there to get access to that facility, which I think would help all the facilities, convention center included.
I've got to throw this in there. When it was first proposed, didn't Las Vegas Sands not want to have anything to do, and Wynn not want to have anything to do with the monorail?
They didn't. You're right. That's why there wasn't a station behind the Las Vegas Sands. But I think that now everyone is realizing a lot of the conventions just take too much space. They take that, not too much. They take a lot of space, more than we have under one roof at the convention center. So they're saying, okay, look, you have no more space to lease us on Paradise Road at the Convention Authority. So we're going to also lease some space at the Sands. We're also going to lease some space at Mandalay Bay. So you've got one exhibitor here and one exhibitor here. And if they want to get between the two of them, they've got to get in a cab or a bus. And when you get those conventions in town, traffic, the gridlock is incredible. It's crazy. So you put them on a monorail, it's faster.
All right, let's take a break. More with Steve Sisolak when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Sisolak. He's the chairman of the Clark County Commission. Okay, the question I got to ask you is, do you want to declare for governor right here on this program?
No, I'm running. That's good. Good try. I'm running for re-election now. I've got a race in November. I don't have a primary, but I do have a race in November, so we'll see how that goes and make some decisions after that.
Okay, but I mean, that's something that's been floating around for a long time. I mean, you're still a young man. You have plenty of time to run.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I can tell my kids that you said I'm still a young man. They don't think that way. I really enjoy what I do. I did seriously consider the idea of running against Governor Sandoval a couple of years back and came to the conclusion it wasn't the right time and place for me and made a pass and took a pass on it and filed for re-election, and now I'm in the middle of that campaign. So we'll see after that race is done how things look.
After the election, you come back on and we'll
talk.
Sure,
I'd be happy. We're happy to talk about it.
No commitments. Okay. North Las Vegas and Sparks feel the need to increase the property taxes. How do you feel about that?
You can't. Increasing the property tax rate isn't going to do anything with the abatement with the caps in effect right now. Increasing the taxes isn't going to get them any more revenue.
No, I mean that they're looking at removing those caps.
Something has to be done with the caps. I agree wholeheartedly. Something has to be done with the caps. Right now, the formula that was established at the beginning was 3% on residential and 8% on commercial. That isn't the case anymore. With a subsequent formula, the alternate formula that's in there, what Clark County is getting this time is two-tenths of a percent in terms of increase. That's the extent of our increase. We cannot function on two-tenths because we're not getting the growth. I mean, other areas, for example, California, who has property tax caps, at least the properties reset upon sale. Here, the properties don't even reset upon sale. And the I think we had in our discussion presentation, we had a commission, 95, 97% of the properties in Clark County are in abatement status right now. And when they're only going to go up two-tenths of a percent next year, they're going to all stay in abatement status. So raising another tax without lifting those caps isn't going to do anybody any good.
Well, I have a rally that you could take, but I'm not sure it'd be real popular, which is the way that the property tax situation is set up right now, it's unconstitutional. It's all supposed to be at the same level. You can't have two different rates.
Ian, I've asked that question of our legal counsel, and I guess there was an interpretation somewhere along the line that LCB made that people relied on the fact that it's constitutional. It does appear that there's a different increase. This time there's not a different increase because they're both at the minimum of 0.2%, which, but there is a potential for it. I guess a different rate, but no one has challenged that since the caps have been put in place.
Well, it's politically unpalatable because who's going to be the person to turn around and say, well, you know, if we're going to change the rate to be the same, then we should raise it to 8%. That's...
Well, you've got a good point there.
A career ender.
It would be. Yeah, you're right. And I'm not here to do that. anybody, I think right now in government would be thrilled if we were back at 3% and 8%. We're not at 3% and 8%. And we don't foresee, because you're coming right now into this rolling average that's used, you're coming into the biggest years of the recession with the decrease in values. So for the next 2-3 years, we're not expecting any significant increase in our property taxes. And that's a real problem when you've got employees that you don't want reasonable raises, and you've got services that need to be delivered. We made massive cuts when we hit the deepest part of the recession, and we have to restore some of those services.
And if we don't do something about the property tax cap, it's going to be 20 years before that comes around.
Exactly, yeah. And it would be, and then who knows how much they'll have escalated by that time in terms of assessed valuation, so we're going to be further behind. I don't think some of them will ever get out of that. Some things should have been handled a little easier. I mean, there's no reason that you don't reset the values when a property sells. If you and I are living next door to each other in exact homes, I'm not talking that one's got a pool and the other doesn't. If they're exact homes, there is no reason why yours should be taxed at a 50% higher rate than mine is because I'm in abatement and you're not in abatement. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
All right, let's take a break. More with Steve Sisolak when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
I gotta make payroll and buy supplies too. Got checks in hand and I don't know what to do. Days and weeks are just too long to wait. I got the cash flow blues.
If your small business can't wait days or even weeks to access your deposits, bring those personal or business checks into Check City and get cash in minutes.
It's a cure for the cash flow blues. Check City, baby.
Discover the textures of the Starving Artist's Art Sale. Discover the beauty that real hand-painted oils can bring to your home or office. Original sofa-size paintings sold elsewhere for hundreds of dollars, as low as $19. Smaller paintings from $9. And most paintings $69 or less. This Saturday, discover the Starving Artist's Art Sale in Reno at the Ramada Hotel from 10 to 4. Info at renoartsale.com.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Sisolak. He's the chairman of the Clark County Commission. Well, people were complaining that nothing was happening at Apex, and all of a sudden, everything's happening at Apex. Hyperloop, along with Faraday Future. How soon do you think the future is coming to Apex? Because it's a different scenario from the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, where you have one owner who can make the decisions and put in the infrastructure and pay for it, and it's all laid out there. But there are so many owners at Apex that hadn't wanted to put the money in.
You're right, and to get the infrastructure there, the water and the sewer and whatnot, is going to cost a significant amount of money. We've had a lot of discussions with our agencies, and it's not fair, in my opinion, to burden our current customers with the cost of running these infrastructure needs, these utilities out there. So that specific area is going to have to come up and pay for that, and it has to be voted on as in a SID, Special Improvement District, to make those contributions on their property tax. And you get into a here and there in terms of who wants it, who doesn't want it. We definitely need to do something to create the jobs is extremely important to us. Just Hyperloop and Faraday Futures is significant in terms of putting people to work. They're good-paying jobs. It's a diversification of our economy. But if you want that to continue, two things have to happen. One, you can't let, because there's so many different owners, there's been a spiral in terms of property values out there for other people going to look at it. I mean, they've doubled and tripled in the couple months since Faraday's come in there, and that's unfortunate because it's, you know, removing other people from potentially looking at the area. And we have to get a handle on the groundwater, the water situation and sewer out there in order to have future development. Right now you've got a couple of marijuana cultivation facilities and a few other businesses, but before it really takes off, those are issues that are going to have to be handled.
You brought up marijuana. Let's talk about marijuana. It looks like recreational is likely to succeed at the ballot. Do you have concerns? Are you happy with the way things are going? I mean, there's been a lot of discussion at the county.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussion at the county. We're right in the throes of it right now. We've got, I think, about 14 or 16 of the dispensaries are actually open in Clark County. I've toured so many cultivation facilities. I mean, there's a capacity to grow an awful lot of marijuana. I don't know how much of that realistically can be sold. I mean, without going to...
Most of it.
Yeah, without going to recreational. I've seen the polls that show that it's likely to pass, but then again, we're still 7 months out from the election. A lot can happen in 7 months.
And but there's no big opposition. I mean, the liquor industry removed the opposition when they decided on the three-tier system, which kind of surprised me when I first heard about it. But when I talked to the Marijuana Policy Project, they said that if there wasn't a three-tier system in place, the liquor industry would have put up millions of dollars to fight it. And so they said, fine, let's just move ahead. So I don't see that there's organized opposition to this.
Well, there's potentially significant organized opposition, and I know there's one individual in town that's extremely wealthy that's taken a stance very much opposed to recreational marijuana. And
you wouldn't be the owner of Las Vegas Sands by any chance.
Could very well be the Las Vegas and the owner of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. But, you know, I mean, if he comes out and he is opposed to that and invests a significant amount of money, I think that it could definitely make an impact on what those polling numbers are. I don't know how solid the people are on either side of this issue. I mean, there's folks that really feel it's a gateway drug. I can tell you from the medicinal side, I met with the families, that no doubt in my mind it can be beneficial, and it is helping some folks. When you get to recreational, there's a lot of other issues we have to deal with in terms of, you know, THC testing and, you know, work laws and how employment is going to suffer and DUI incidents, and there's got to be some way to quantify.
I was talking with Tick Sagerblum the other day, and he was saying that he's in favor of adopting the California position, which is to test people as they would a roadside test for inebriation. But on the other side of that, somebody said to me, you know, my concern is minorities, that if people are handing out tickets, that you're going to see more minorities, Hispanics and African Americans, pulled over and given tickets because they were driving. You know, because, I mean, frankly, I couldn't pass a roadside test totally sober.
Yeah.
Can you, with putting your hands
on
your
nose?
Your
nose, you know, the older you get, your balance and different things, it's difficult.
Alphabet backwards, come on.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. I think that there is a propensity to stop minorities at a higher rate. There's no doubt that that's the case. And I've known Tick a long time, and I have an utmost respect for him. He's a good guy. I consider him a good friend. I think it would be field day for attorneys if that's how we decided to test this, because everyone is going to object to those subjective tests that are given on the side of the road, touch your nose, you know, walk the line and count from, you know, 1 to 3 and 3 to 10 and, you know, and alphabet backwards. And, you know, attorneys are going to have a field day with those interpretations, unless it's something really
Chris Hicks, the Washoe County District Attorney, said to me that this is something the legislature needs to take up.
I think the legislature needs to absolutely take it up. There has to be something that can be quantified in the blood that can look at. There is a definitive alcohol, you have a 0.08 limit. I mean, it's, you can have the officer, you know, do the roadside test. You can, you know, say he's got reasonable cause and you're taken down. But at some point, you take a very direct test that's pass or fail. The same thing would have to happen, in my opinion, for marijuana. It can't be subjective. This can't be where the people that can afford to get a good, high-priced, powerful attorney like Mr. Sagerblum can get out of it, and effective attorney, for that matter. And the other folks that can't, you know, the minorities, are going to be found guilty because they can't, you know, object to the charges. So something needs to be done.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that when you talk about gateway drugs, prescription drugs taken from parents and grandparents and taken by kids, are more of a gateway drug these days than marijuana.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. I've had that in one of my senior communities out in the Henderson area where I've spoke to them. And, you know, I had the Henderson Police Department and somebody from Metro, and they said that, you know, look, if your grandkids start suddenly coming over a lot more to visit and to say hi to you, I mean, it might not be because they just want to say hello and that they happen to go to the bathroom. And as soon as they're in the bathroom and they open a medicine cabinet and they take their backpack in with them, say, oh, see you, Grandpa, see you, Grandma, you know, see you next month. And you think that you fill that prescription, and maybe you didn't, and suddenly pills are missing, and it's a real problem. And there's a theft with those from seniors. We've had people actually breaking into homes, and they say nothing was taken, and the officer go, if you check your prescriptions. And, geez, I think I had the bottle. I don't know what I did with it, and they don't know if it was taken or they misplaced it. So it's a problem.
And that's why heroin is a lot cheaper than OxyContin if you're buying it on the black market.
Yeah, I agree with that. And my understanding is it's readily available, unfortunately, in a lot of our schools.
Readily available.
Yeah.
And that's where we got to leave it. Good luck on the campaign trail, sir.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Always
look forward to seeing you again.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Car trouble happens. It's inconvenient, costly, and sometimes even dangerous. Unless you've got this, a AAA card. Same size as a credit card, but it's actually a get-it card. Need a tow? Tire change, battery, get it. 24/7, all by AAA certified road service technicians. And a AAA card goes with you, no matter whose vehicle you're in. How much for all this peace of mind? Only $56 a year. Call now and get it.
Get this beverage container free. Visit AAA.com/get it or call 1-844-867-3731.
With a AAA card, you get 24/7 emergency roadside service for just $56 a year. And discounts on purchases that can save you more than $56 a year. At places like Century Theaters, Reebok Outlets, Lens Crafters, auto repairs at any AAA-approved facility, and more. All for a price our members think is worth every penny. Only $56 a year. Call now and get it.
Get this hot and cold beverage container free. Visit AAA.com/get it or call AAA now at 1-844-867-3731.
Welding is one of those great things. You can use electricity and metal and form it into large, awesome things, either buildings or artwork. There's a whole lot of opportunity for welders in the current region. I would recommend CCNN to other people, and I actually have several times because they helped with everything from start to finish, even putting me in a job after I graduated.
Truck month and clearance pricing, you got it. But you've got to get to Carson Dodge Ram to get it. These are big boy discounts on hundreds of Ram trucks, like a 2016 Ram 1500 Hemi Quad Cab 4x4 starting at $29,000, or the 2016 Ram 2500 6.7-liter Cummins Diesel Crew Cab 4x4, just $40,700. So where are you getting your truck? Only one place, Carson Dodge Ram, where Ram trucks really do cost less. Thank you. See CarsonDodge.com.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next broadcast.